Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. Well, as you know, we always try to ensure that we give you a business story to sectors, spaces and places that might seem unusual, but the truth is there's a business story in almost everything. And this is also true to ongoing efforts and partnerships that are meant to highlight social investment, corporate social responsibility, and of course, clear partnerships that take place between members of South Africa and those within the global community. Today, we shine a light on an institution which is based in a town that was my home for a good 2.5 months last year during my fellowship with the World Press Institute, Minneapolis, a town that is branched out to ensure that they provide an opportunity for many, many other South Africans to excel in terms of their educational advancements, but also partnership with the global community. Arm in Africa is the organization we're going to discuss tonight, and giving us some insight as to their efforts to continue to partner with South Africans in alleviating some of the societal pressures and challenges we have. For that, we join on the line by Board Chair of Arm in Africa, Ed Lutebach, to give us some insight. Such a pleasure to have you with us this evening, Ed. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, let's just start on the inspiration behind the founding of Arm in Africa and understand a lot more as to what it is you actually do in terms of your partnership with the African continent.
So Arm in Africa started in 2020. I'm sorry, 2000, actually. So we are celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. And in 2020, two of our founders came to Cape Town to actually see what they could do to help with the AIDS epidemic. Mm-hmm. And it became very obvious to them that nothing could happen from a healthcare perspective if people were hungry. So that's where Arm in Africa founded, trying to support the HIV AIDS epidemic, and then moved into emergency food relief, healthcare, and education as the three pillars of our organization.
Mm-hmm. I think this is so important because for many South Africans, we're well aware that this has been a challenge, not only in our local environment, but in many parts of Southern Africa. As you've mentioned, you're celebrating 25 years. Talk us through the evolution of your efforts and some of the key highlights within this journey over the last two decades.
Great question. So I would say that in 25 years, we have actually been able to grow every year for that time period. So we are 100% donor funded with private donations, mostly from folks in Minneapolis. And with that money, we have been able to expand in the amount of food that we provide from an emergency food relief in different geographies that we might provide food. And then we started to get more into education, as an example, started out with early childhood education, and that evolved into mentoring students in more of the high school area for math on Saturdays with a program called FLY, Fun Learning for Youth. Mm-hmm. And that's evolved into new education programs where we have supported the training of over 50 women to become plumbers to support their empowerment and self-reliance. Mm.
I think this is so important because what it also underscores is how investment and development of people does translate into better economic outcomes. Whilst that's not the ethos of Arm in Africa, but that certainly seems to be a beautiful development of your story, allowing individuals to not only be healthier, be empowered, and as a result, be financially emancipated in terms of their role. Maybe give us a better understanding of some of the underserved communities that you've worked in and how you've addressed their needs and challenges. And as you've highlighted, there have been a few success stories from the outcomes you've made.
Correct. So on the Western Cape, mostly in the township of Guguletu, we have provided food, education. We also do support St. Luke's Hospice for hospice care in Gugulethu. We do some work in Kailesha, and that's one of the partnerships that we were looking to expand our relationship with, is an organization called NICOSA, and they are Networking AIDS Community of South Africa, and they've got a community center, Kumbalani, in the center of Kailesha, and we were looking to work and support them, and they unfortunately were greatly impacted by the pullout of USAID. So we are continuing to try and empower organizations in the Western Cape. In the Eastern Cape, we work with a small village north of Umtata called Melengeni. And there we try to meet the needs of the rural marginalized population, as well as kind of the urban center. So we're doing work, also education, but community gardening, especially with some hydroponic technology that we're introducing this year into some of the communities. So we try to support both the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape and anything in between, and we try to really understand what's happening locally. So it's not just folks in Minneapolis thinking, here's what those communities need. We spend time with the communities to learn what they need.
100%. I think this is important because, as you've mentioned, the time and effort you spent learning what it is they need does speak to a heightened level of partnership. And you were recently in South Africa in February with a team of other members of Arm in Arm in Africa. Help us understand what current needs you've witnessed members of the underserved community still require on the back of your visit.
So this was my fourth visit to South Africa.
Lovely.
Jim Cassidy has been there 25 years. So every year we bring a delegation of anywhere from 12 to 20 individuals to participate with the communities, I guess be present with communities and learn where we can help. There's no question that right now, especially with the high unemployment in South Africa, that there is still an unmet need for food scarcity. So that's where, again, these community gardens are something that we're investing more in, as well as the education and providing skill sets like plumbing that can give meaningful jobs to people above and beyond what traditional roles might be for women in the community, that might be cleaning homes or something like that. So what can we do to get to train people to get better skill sets to really address the unemployment issue?
100%. We're very well aware of that challenge in South Africa and appreciate any efforts to alleviate those dynamics going forward. And speaking of efforts, you mentioned that the USAID support that we know from the Donald Trump administration has been pulled out. Has that impacted many of the communities that you work with currently? And if so, are there solutions that you're working with in partnership with others to plug the gaps?
It certainly has had a significant negative impact on the partnerships that we have. It did not affect Arm in Arm in Africa financially because, as I had mentioned, we are 100% donor funded. But when you look at organizations like NICOSA, where that community center in Kailesha, Kumbalani, was 100% funded by USAID. So they've had to lay off over 780 people at NICOSA. They also worked with orphans and vulnerable children. So we're supporting some other orphanages in the community that might be able to take on some of these kids. But it's a really significant challenge. There are definitely other organizations. So there's one called Commercial Transport Academy, also with a social driver in that they've trained over 1,200 women to become truck drivers. So they've been a really good model for us on how do we take the success stories that they've had in training truck drivers to bring that into training plumbers and then starting a plumbing company. Like they have started a trucking company and they have sponsors like Mercedes and Volvo. So those companies are stepping up to fill in some of the gaps from USAID. But the gap is really, really significant. So even with the best partnerships and as many financial resources as we can get, it will still not be enough, unfortunately.
100%. And I guess this takes us to an important question, Ed, on the sustainability of your model and I guess ongoing efforts to make an impact on the African continent. You've been doing something right for the last 25 years, but give us some insight as to some of the learnings you can share of the running of Arm in Arm in Africa to ensure the business sustainability and the impact over the long term?
That is a great question. So a couple of things that we've done internally is to be able to create a legacy giving program and an endowment. So we have a significant amount of money that we've been able to put away, and then we start using the interest on those funds to be able to be part of our operating budget. So that allows us to not be so dependent on fundraising. So we still have some work to do, but our goal would be to get our endowment up to about $5 million and then be able to take the interest income from that sum to continue to support the model that way. In the operating side of our business, I think the thing that we're very conscious of and part of our recent strategic planning was in addition to the gifts of food, healthcare, and education, we added this concept of how do we give the gift of self-reliance and empowerment. So instead of just becoming a fundraising company that everything that we raise, we put into food, healthcare, education, and start over again, how do we build models that empower people so that if we can start a plumbing company, the profits from that company go back into training more plumbers,
yes,
maybe electricians, maybe so now these initiatives can be self-funded. We've got one garden that is a pilot garden this year that will be in the Eastern Cape growing saffron as a cash crop. So we found a company in the healthcare industry that will buy all the saffron the community can make, and the margins will be significantly higher than what they might be able to make in growing food. So now the concept is here and demonstrating this kind of entrepreneurship. How do they take the resources from this garden, not only to buy food needs and healthcare needs, but then also be able to drive an income and try to create energy around these initiatives that then, again, builds more empowerment and more self-reliance. So those are, I think, some really key ways that we're trying to sustain what we do.
100%. That's really refreshing to hear. It sounds like a model that continues to reinforce itself, Ed, in terms of the growth, sustainability, and impact that you'd like to make on the continent. As we do conclude, I I'm very keen for you, perhaps just to, as an outsider who's come in from a market like the US, outside of the geopolitics and the confusion that's happening, one thing's quite certain is that there's an alignment and partnership to better the South African communities and environments that you operate in. How would you say we need to manage the global perception about the communities that you serve? We're well aware of the challenges we face in South Africa, but we also want to ensure that when we look for partners like Arm in Arm in Africa and many others across the globe, that we also know that it's a long-term partnership that does translate into growth and reciprocal outcomes. But maybe let's just address firstly the foregone perceptions about markets like South Africa and the communities you serve, but also how this has also been a fulfilling and reciprocal relationship for members like yourself who are in Minneapolis right now.
Perfect. So a couple of things. Let me start with this global perception. I think there's this narrative out there that marginalized communities in South Africa are only looking for handouts. And based on the 25 years that we have been there, there is nothing further than the truth. I think these communities that we serve want nothing more than to be able to build a future for themselves and for their families, and are willing to work really hard to get there. But as a following generations of apartheid, where education was only through the fourth grade by law, it's going to take time and effort to be able to rebuild a society, to regain these entrepreneurial skills and confidence, and everything that I see, it's there, and there are people that are floating to the top that are the next generation of leaders that it's really, really exciting to work with.
Fantastic.
And so I think that's the other thing that we learn is the joy that we see from these communities that have very little to nothing, that the joy they have in sharing with whatever they have with us when we arrive, the joy that they have in learning a new skill, things like that are really important. And in addition, so things like hospice, the way that South Africa manages a hospice program is something that we in the U.S. have a lot to learn from. And spending some time in a hospice community, those kinds of examples, this is definitely a mutual exchange of ideas and resources that have helped not only South Africa, but definitely the community of people that have gone on these trips.
100%. This is so refreshing to hear, Ed, and of course provides a heightened level of encouragement for us to seek an alignment between, business efforts to make social impact and understanding how this can not only be run professionally, efficiently, but also with the necessary outcomes in terms of social economic development. So thank you so much for your time. We wish you all the best going
forward. So Google, I have one other request that maybe some of your listeners might be able to help us with. So on our journey, we want to continue to provide leadership from South Africa instead of just leaders on the board being from the U.S. So right now, we have three South Africans on our board, but we are looking for leaders in South Africa that can join our effort, that can provide more information about what's happening on the ground and the communities that we're serving. So if anybody knows or is interested in supporting us at a leadership level, please visit our website at arminarminafrica.org.
Oh, fantastic. We'll be sure to make sure that we get the right people involved, and I just might throw my name in the hat too. Thank you so much, Ed.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Such a pleasure speaking to you, and all the best with your endeavors. That is Ed Lutterbach, Chair of Arm in Arm in Africa.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.